And we're going to look at one verse tonight. And next week, Lord willing, we've been looking at the last days. Now we're going to look at a different day. A different day according to 2 Peter chapter 3 here. So just a quick review. Look at verse number 3 with me, please. And we're going to read verses 3 to verse number 10. And just follow along and I'll read those verses for us. Verses 3 to 10. Here's what it says. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There's so much involved in this verse, and it spans a lot of years. Verse number 10 is not talking about the last days. It is talking about, as it mentions there, the day of the Lord, a different section of time. We discovered the last days, last few weeks, we discovered is the time between Christ's ascension there in Acts chapter 1 and his return to earth. So in between that time, there's some other events that are going to happen. We're going to look at that in just a bit. But the day of the Lord, at least the beginning of it, let's put it that way, is the return of Jesus to the earth. So following the last days is what we're looking at here. The return of Jesus to the earth. He actually puts his feet on the planet earth. Now he has not done that since he's ascended. And by the way, when he comes to take you to be with him at home in heaven, he will not put his feet on the earth according to the Bible. He won't come that far, but he'll meet us. We will meet him, I should say, in the clouds. We're going to look at some of those things tonight and what it entails. And then, Lord willing, next week, kind of wrap up that part of the study. But we've looked at the last days. Now we're going to start looking at the day of the Lord. Let's go ahead and ask his help before we go any further. And would you bow with me and I'll pray. Father, again, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the truth that it has, not only for today, but for the coming days and many years in the future, Lord, that we might be able to be a better, well-informed witness of Christ and be comforted, Lord, and knowing what your will and plan is. And we ask, Father, that you'd help us to grow a little bit more closer to you tonight, more like our Savior. Father, I pray if there's any distractions around us tonight, that are in our hearts or around, I pray, Father, you'd help us to set those aside and let the Holy Spirit speak, that he may have willing ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the day of the Lord. And we got several passages of Scripture we want to look at, and I'm going to ask some help to read those, please. Who would take, who would take 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 17? So we'll all look at it, but someone would read it for us. Who would do that for us tonight? 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 17. Fairly lengthy passage, but not too difficult. All right, Brother Kurt, visiting with us tonight. Amen. Glad to have him back. Glad to have the Wallaces with us. So praise the Lord they made it back safe and sound. And pray, next one, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verses 51 to verse 54. Who would take that? 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 54. All right. Grace is going to read that nice and loud for us. Thank you very much. Then we have Daniel chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. And Pete is going to read that for us. Thank you, sir. Okay. Then let's see. How about Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11. And Bob Keyes is going to read that. Thank you. Then 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9, who would take that? I thought I saw a hand over here. How about Trenton? Nice and loud when we get to that. Okay, sounds good. And then the last one I'll hand out is Revelation 6, verses 16 through 17. Who would read Revelation 6, verses 16 through 17? How about Wesley there in the back? Yeah, he's been holding his hand up for a while, so we'll reward that. All right, the Bible here tells us in verse number 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. So I want to look at here, first of all, number one, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is, the first blank is after the rapture of the church. And you might say, well, we all know that. Well, there is a lot of teaching out there that does not teach that. As a matter of fact, they don't teach that the rapture happens until after the day of the Lord, that the day of the Lord is beginning by that time. And that is not the way the Bible teaches it. There, you might have heard the terms pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. How many have heard those terms? Pre-trib means what? Before the tribulation. Mid-trib means in the middle, somewhere in the middle. And post-trib would be after the tribulation. Well, we believe, the Bible teaches, and I think it's the evidence is great, that Jesus has a pre-tribulational rapture on the calendar. And that means before the tribulation, before the day of the Lord begins as well. So let's take a look at how this pans out here in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's all go there, please. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 1. By the way, when you're studying the scriptures and you study various doctrines, they have different names to describe them. The names aren't in the Bible, but they are names that we know when we say we're studying about this, the gospel, or we're studying about that. If you study about the things that are to come, the last things, they call that eschatology. If you want to write that down, eschatology, that's what it's called. And we're looking into that a little bit tonight. First Thessalonians chapter 1. Are you there? Let's take a look. Verse number 6. And let's read those verses together, verse 6 to verse number 10, 1 Thessalonians 1. Let's begin. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. All right, the phrase that we really want to focus on there is verse number 10 in that passage where he says this, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So letter A here. The rapture is for believers and happens before God's wrath during the tribulation period. The wrath to come is God's wrath on the world. Now we read about much of that in the book of Revelation. Other parts of the Old Testament prophesy about some things that he's going to do. But that is a situation. The Bible says that the rapture will happen before any of that begins. There are people here who are not here, but they're on this world today that are telling us we are in the tribulation period today. How many have heard that or read that? Okay. Well, if that's true, then let's take them to the book of Revelation. And let's find out what kind of judgments that God is bringing upon the world that he says he will. Mankind is afflicting himself, but God says he's going to judge the world too. We're going to look at that as well. But the Bible says not only that, there will be a leader that will rise up, and we're going to look at him in just a minute, that he will be a world-recognized leader as the one who sets up a government over the world. Has that happened, and is it happening today? No, it has not happened. And it's not happening today. So just in a practical sense, you can say clearly, we are not in the tribulation period that's described in the scriptures. But spiritually speaking, as well as just simply studying out the Bible, you know this, that Jesus has not come yet. He hasn't come yet into the clouds and to take his people home. The Bible says here to the Thessalonian church, Paul said, you're looking for Jesus, keep doing that, because he's the one who's going to deliver us from the wrath to come. Letter B. Letter B. The rapture is the next universal event. Universal. Folks, do you think this event's going to happen and affect the whole universe? I think it will. I think it's not just going to be a matter of us flying up into the clouds. I think something's going to happen out there in the skies as well. And 1 Thessalonians describes some of this, but of course, more about us personally, what's going to happen to the saints. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 17. Okay, thank you very much. So here we see that Paul says, listen, not only is it the next event, but it could happen today. It could happen today. We talked about this, was it Sunday night or Sunday morning? I forget. That event, when it's written in the Bible as a present event, as it's happening, it could happen today. Paul says, we which are alive, present. And so though that did not happen in his lifetime and those that he, in the Thessalonian church at the time, it still could happen today. Now, could he delay that? Could he choose to wait another 2,000 years? Yeah, he could. He could. And by the way, we ought not to pigeonhole the Lord. Well, look at all the things that are going on in the world. Man, there's volcanoes going off. There's people rising up. And certainly Jesus is coming back any second. Well, this has happened in the past too. It's happened in the last 2,000 years. Anybody ever heard of Mount Vesuvius? Destroyed a whole nation, practically. Volcano eruption and so forth. And the world has been in turmoil over times. But Jesus has chosen, and the Heavenly Father has chosen to wait. To wait. And we can come up with all kinds of reasons why, but the bottom line is only he knows why. And we're going to let him determine that. I think mainly because so that more people can come to Christ. I think there's some evidence of that in the scriptures. But his timing is his own, and the Bible tells us that it is the next event in the universe. Letter C, the rapture will go unnoticed by the unsaved. You say, why do you say that? 1 Corinthians 15, listen to this, 51 to 54.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Okay, thank you very much. Again, another aspect of the Lord's return in the air. But the very first verse that she read, verse 51, says that he shall come in a moment in the what? Twinkling of an eye, which is basically the blink of an eye. And you might say, man, I've witnessed to my family, my coworkers, my neighbors, everybody's going to know if I'm not there, what's happened? Really? Really? Let me ask you this. Let's think about the last couple months in our world today. Is it possible for a mass deception to be put out there to explain all of us gone at the same time? I think it is. And the Bible talks about that in a little bit. We're going to look at that in the scriptures. But we're seeing now, though, how could that happen in a worldwide effort? A deception could be put out there. I'm not saying that COVID is a deception. What I am saying is that worldwide it's been coordinated in such a way that every single country has had to do so or has responded to it. You see what I'm saying? And now we can see that it's possible to do that in such a way that can possibly explain the disappearance of all of us. What is, you know, all these crazy shows on TV talk about aliens coming to take us all away. And I'm here to tell you, it's not so preposterous to some people. To some people, they really believe that's possible. They don't believe in the Bible, but they'll believe that someone that that doesn't exist could come from the cosmos and destroy our worlds and so forth. There is a deception out there that is possible, and we are beginning to see how it could happen, or maybe even will. The Bible tells us the rapture will go unnoticed by the unsaved. What happened to them? I don't know, but probably aliens, you know, or probably maybe the COVID strike force came and pulled them out of the house. We've heard rumors about that kind of stuff. That's the kind of thing that we could expect may happen, but it will go unnoticed by the unsaved. By the way, when we read some of these scriptures of eschatology, or last things, especially in Matthew chapter 24, here's what Jesus said, the writer of Matthew in the gospel, he made an aside note for one of those verses. He said, let him that read heareth. When he's talking to those who are going through that moment of those final days that the scriptures talk about. So the rapture will go unnoticed, largely, by the unsaved. Day of the Lord is after the rapture. Number two, the day of the Lord is after the seven-year tribulation. Now, we're moving quickly through all these things, so we're not going to spend time on those particular moments, but we're mainly focusing on the day of the Lord. But here it says in Daniel that there is a time in the future, when Daniel wrote, a time in the future that God will allow, or a man of sin will come to power and wreak havoc on the earth. First of all, let me say this. The tribulation is prophesied and includes Satan's attempt to destroy God's people completely. And the first group that we talk about when we read of God's people in the Bible is Israel. Daniel chapter 7, verse 24 to 27.
Kingdom and dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him.
Okay, thank you very much. So this is the prophecy that God gave to Daniel. It's many, many years, thousands of years in the past now, but he shares about Israel, part of Israel's judgment that they'll have to go through, talking about a ruler, the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings and so forth, and one will rise. Well, we know that as the scriptures begin to reveal through the New Testament as well, we would call that individual who? Who do we know him as? The Antichrist. Not Obama, maybe it is Obama, I don't know. The Antichrist, that's what the scriptures talk about. And he will come to power, and we've talked about this before, of course. But what he will do is, main focus will be to put Israel under his own control. He'll set up a throne, the Bible talks about, in Jerusalem. That will be where his government begins to rule the world, and others will come under his control. So this kind of judgment, the Bible says, will happen during the tribulation period. Has that happened today? No. Is Jerusalem the seat of power in the world today? No, so we're not in the tribulation period. And the Antichrist that we read about in the scriptures, though he may exist in the world today, there's no reason why he couldn't, but he has not made himself publicly known as the Antichrist or as that type of leader, at least to this point. So not only Israel will be under that judgment, but tribulation period saints will have to deal with this type of attack by Satan. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's go there. Tribulation period saints, that is during the time of tribulation, those who receive Christ as their Savior, those who are get saved, and it will happen during that time. Many will come to Christ, not everybody, but some, and the Bible says they will deal with the Antichrist as well as other judgments. Chapter 2. And we're looking at verse number 2. So quite a lengthy passage, and I'll just read this. Just follow along, please, and I'll read. It says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Talking about Antichrist there. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So during that tribulation period, Satan is going to attempt to destroy any who claim God, the God of the Bible, as God. Now, is all Israel going to be saved? All the individuals, even today, is all of Israel or Hebrews or Jews, are they saved? No. What do they have to do in order to be saved? They got to do the same thing you did. Amen. They got to receive Christ as their Savior. But God promised that he will have a land for them in the millennial kingdom. And he still promises the Savior. He says, we've got a Savior for you. You still need to turn to him. So the tribulation saints, the idea here basically is that Satan is going to attempt and try to destroy them during that period. So that's the blank saints. Revelation 6 gives us a little more thought on that. Chapter 6, verses 9 through 11.
And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled.
Okay, thank you. This gives you a little picture of how Satan and the Antichrist are dealing with saints during the tribulation, people who claim Christ as their Savior and will not renounce him. The Bible says very clearly there's only one end in their judgment. Their judgment is not they're going to be in jail for the next 10 years, or we're going to hold them over, we're going to confiscate their... No, they're going to be killed. It's very simply put in the scriptures, and it'll be a sad time. That's why we want to see as many people as we know today come to the Lord. Amen? We want to see them come to Christ now to avoid all these terrible things that we know are going to happen. So that is the tribulation that is prophesied. Letter B, the tribulation includes God's wrath upon sinful man. So besides the Antichrist, the Bible says God's wrath will visit the world. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9 gives us a thought about that. Okay, thank you very much. So the wrath that God is talking about there, it can include the wrath for sin itself, the penalty of sin, but I believe if you look at it in context, 1 Thessalonians 5, it talks about a wrath to come. And the Bible talks about a little bit more about that in chapter 6 again of Revelation, verse 16 and 17. Wesley's going to read that for us as well. Okay, thank you. And there's so much involved. If you want to know what it's all about, come to Sunday school. Brother Luke is going to talk about all those things as he's going through the book. And they're terrible. They're terrible regardless of what they all end up being and looking like. They're terrible. The Bible doesn't paint them ever as a good thing for mankind. His sin will be revealed and the wrath of God will come down. The Bible tells us the day of the Lord is after the 7-year tribulation. Okay, so when is it? We know where it's not. When is it? Number three, the day of the Lord begins Christ's millennial reign. And of course, we know, we've talked about this, you've read about it, that at the end of that 7 years is when Jesus brings the tribulation to a close when he comes to the earth. Let's look at this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 1 and 2 tonight for just a moment. And let's read these together, please. Verse 1 and 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, the Thessalonian church, Paul wrote a lot about the Lord's return, about future events, and intermingled with other exhortation. But here in verses 1 and 2, it talks about future times as well. Let's go ahead and read that together, shall we? Verse 1 and 2, chapter 5, let's begin. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So what's going to happen? And if we cross-reference that with chapter 3 in 2 Peter of verse 10, it says almost the exact same thing. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Wow, it almost looks like these guys copied each other. Well, there's a single writer for the Bible. Amen. Who's the writer of the Bible? Holy Spirit. That's right. And he inspired these men to record it that way. Well, first we find number one, or letter A here, Christ's coming will be sudden. Christ's coming will be sudden. When he comes to earth, people will not expect it. The sin, the judgment, the things that are coming down from the sky, the Bible says many, many people, large portions of the population of the earth will be killed during the tribulation period. And it's as if it's a shock that Jesus would come again. That's what the scriptures pointed out to be for mankind during that time. And letter B, Christ's coming will be unwelcome. We're in 1 Thessalonians 5. If you're still there, look again at verse 2, please. He says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a, what? Thief in the night. How many would invite a thief to their house? How many would like to know if a thief was coming to their house? Yeah, absolutely. You're going to pull out the 12-gauge. You're going to call. You're going to have the police on hand. You're going to want to know what they look like. You're going to want to be prepared. But the Bible says not only will the world not be prepared, they will not welcome his return. Because with Jesus, and we'll look at this next week, with Jesus comes judgment, more judgment for the unsaved nations. And we're going to look at that as we go on, but let's go ahead and stop right there. The day of the Lord, we know it's not here. We know it hasn't come yet, but it is sure to come according to the Bible. Let's go ahead. And I'm inviting you to split up. If you'd like to split up with men with men, ladies with ladies, you are welcome to do that. If you do not want to do that, you do not have to. I'm not telling you to, but I believe that it is available for us tonight. And if you'd like to do that, please feel free.